Bosnian Serbs put conditions on U.S. demand as deadline nears for resumption of bombing. U.N. conference on women opens in China. President Clinton politics in California. Good Labor Day morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. With just 7 hours before NATO and the U.N. could resume attacks on Bosnian Serbs, their leader, Radovan Karadzic, has told former President Jimmy Carter that heavy weapons will be removed from around Sarajevo, as the U.N. demands. But as usual, Karadzic attached conditions, including a NATO guarantee that Bosnian government forces won't exploit the pullback by attacking Serb positions. And the Bosnian Serb military commander, General Ratko Mladic, who these days has more clout than Karadzic, has attached even more conditions, prompting the U.N. to reject them. For now, says UNPROFOR's Leah Milnick, the Serbs are still dug in.
We have not noticed any movement by the Bosnian Serbs on the ground to remove their heavy weapons out of the 20-kilometer exclusion zone around Sarajevo. We estimate that there's around 200 to 300 pieces that would fall under the category of heavy weapons, and we really haven't noticed any significant withdrawal at all.
British Defense Secretary Michael Patillo says the consequences are clear.
There's been no sign of the movement of the guns so far, and those guns must be moved if the United Nations and NATO are not to resume the attacks.
U.S. Envoy Richard Holbrooke talked past midnight in Belgrade with President Milosevic, but had little to show for it.
Another difficult but constructive discussion on the huge issues that still divide the two sides. I would be misleading you if I suggested we made any progress last night on specific things. The work ahead is very, very great.
Holbrooke is now in Athens. The fourth UN Women's Conference has officially opened in Beijing, a 12-day global talk fest the Chinese may come to regret hosting. Our coverage begins with CBS News correspondent James Satori.
China rolled out the red carpet for the UN Conference on Women this morning with a lavish welcoming ceremony at the Great Hall of the People. Yet tight security caused another flap just outside when South Africa's Winnie Mandela was turned away after arriving late. It became a heated confrontation that security officials tried to hide from news cameras. This weekend, at a grassroots women's forum outside Beijing, organizers publicly complained about harassment and surveillance by Chinese security officials, at one point demanding they be stopped. After meetings, both sides agreed to try to work together, though the surveillance continues. With the arrival tonight of First Lady Hillary Clinton, it's a concern to the U.S. delegation here. Delegation co-chair Timothy Wirth.
I think they were very paranoid about it, and they just got to learn how to handle themselves in the international community of the 21st century.
3,000 delegates are in Beijing for the UN conference, which will take up issues including poverty, health care, education, and violence against women. Delegates will begin work tomorrow on a proposed 120-page platform, which they hope will be a blueprint for gender equality worldwide. James Hattori, CBS News, Beijing.
This is Martha Teichner. How the First Lady will handle the touchy issue of China's human rights record when she gets to Beijing is a question her staff is deliberately not answering. She is said to be still working on her speeches. At a reception during a refueling stop in Guam, Mrs. Clinton explained why she wanted to go to the UN-sponsored women's conference.
To promote policies around the world, including in our own country, that improve the status of women, children, and families.
The point of the conference, according to UN Ambassador Madeleine Albright, head of the U.S. delegation, is to set a standard for countries worldwide to try to live up to concerning their treatment of women. Traveling with the First Lady, Ambassador Albright said the agenda is not radical or anti-family, as conservative critics have claimed. Martha Teichner, CBS News, en route to China.
In Srinagar, India, Kashmiri separatists have detonated a car bomb, killing at least 13 people.
I'm Mark Noller in Monterey, California. Fresh from a 16-day vacation in Wyoming and a long weekend of recreation and VJ Day commemoration in Hawaii, the president returns to the task today of getting reelected. Mr. Clinton is back in California, making his 19th visit to the state as president, a state whose 54 electoral votes are indispensable to Mr. Clinton's reelection strategy. His political aides concede there is no way the president can win a second term without California in his column. Today, Mr. Clinton focuses attention on the defense conversion program that has helped California cope with the closure of several military bases. He'll address a dedication ceremony for a new campus of California State University, located on part of what used to be the Fort Ord Army Base. And this afternoon, he'll discuss his administration's efforts to create jobs and meet the needs of working Americans at a Labor Day picnic in Alameda County. Mark Knoller, CBS News, with the president in Monterey, California.
It may not be a giant sucking sound, but one study says NAFTA is costing American jobs. This according to Lori Wallach of Public Citizen, which lobbied against the trade agreement.
The jobs are not being created, the new jobs. But we also found that many existing jobs now have been lost because of NAFTA, which means overall NAFTA isn't working.
Wallach pointed to the toymaker Mattel. In 1993, a Mattel vice president told a House subcommittee NAFTA would have a very positive effect on more than 2,000 workers in the U.S. Instead, 520 of them were laid off due to increased imports from Mexico. George Bush is in Hanoi for an unofficial visit, the first former American president to meet with the country's communist leaders since the Vietnam War ended in 1975. The Eastern Caribbean is bracing for Hurricane Luis, which is bearing down with winds of 140 miles an hour. Hurricane warnings are in effect for the Leeward Islands and for Dominica, Guadeloupe, and surrounding islands. Early today, a hurricane alert was posted for Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Two granite monuments were dedicated yesterday to the sons of Susan Smith. Jim Krasula reports from Union, South Carolina.
About 200 people who gathered at John D. Long Lake near Union, South Carolina, listened as the South Carolina band Carolina Gold sang a song the group wrote in the memory of Michael and Alex Smith.
When we got that tragic word that they had lost their lives, we just...
Choking back tears, the boy's father, David, thanked the volunteers who provided the markers.
But because of people like you all have come out today, and the people have helped contribute to this, and done all this, it's exactly what gets me to the next day.
David Smith also said he hopes people will become more aware of child abuse and neglect. Jim Krasula for CBS News, Union, South Carolina.
Tanya Harding may be able to ice skate, but can she sing? Yesterday's crowd at a Portland, Oregon fundraiser didn't think so, and they pelted her band, the Golden Blades, with soda bottles.
You need to take her off the stage.
Hi, put me up here.
Because she's embarrassing.
I think it's neat that she's okay, at least making an effort to come out. She hasn't gotten much support here, and I bet it's hard for her.
Her manager got on stage to defend Harding.
It takes courage. She wanted to sing a song for you people because she does love Portland. And instead of booing, I think you should be cheering this young lady.
Harding's band was the opening act for Cool and the Gang at a fundraiser for muscular dystrophy. The dollar is mostly lower overseas. London gold is on $1.15 at $379.85 an ounce. It's 10 past the hour.